We shall turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together in Lamentations chapter 3 and read again at verse 31. Lamentations chapter 3 from verse 31. For the Lord will not cast off forever, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. What a blessed thing it is to know that the Lord is full of compassion. We hear this many times. It's a more wonderful thing if we can have some sense of it, when we truly appreciate the fact that with God compassions flow. And knowing that God does not afflict willingly, that he does not delight to grieve the children of men. This gives us hope. And indeed, God is calling every one of us to turn to him and live, to come to Christ, to have life, and that more abundantly. And all who come to Christ will most certainly be received, and they will know what it is to experience the multitude of his mercies. They may not feel all those mercies all at once, but what did David say? Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. With the Lord's help, we will consider first the comfort that God will not cast off forever. Verse 31. In the second place, the compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. And in the third place, the confirmation that he doth not afflict willingly. The comfort, the compassion, and the confirmation. First of all, the comfort. For the Lord will not cast off forever. This is indeed how the Lord's people feel sometimes. They feel cast off, and they feel that God is displeased with them, as one would find something that is very unpleasant and causes displeasure. What happens? The person discards it, throws it away. Now, the Lord's people are never truly cast off from the Lord. God never holds them in contempt. He does not despise his people. But there are times, of course, as we know, when God is displeased, cannot but be displeased with his people when they grievously sin against him. But even when the cause of their experience is not great sin, yet God's people sometimes do feel that God is displeased. God has cast them off when he hides his face from them. And when they go through difficulties, when they encounter trying circumstances, hardship, loss, disappointments, they may feel then in those situations that God is angry with them. They feel that he does not approve of them. They might be tempted to ask, well, if God really loves me, why am I going through all of this? A very natural reaction to difficulties in life. Now, this is what the world cannot brook, cannot accept, that evil people should prosper and good people should go through hardship. They don't understand it. But we have the pages of God's Word to shed light on the human situation and the circumstances we go through. And the fact of the matter is, the Word of God comforts believers. They have the comforts of the promises. They have the comfort from the God of all comfort, from the one who was appointed to comfort them that mourn in Zion, They have his comforting promises, including the one we considered on Sabbath morning. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. If we're mourning because the Lord seems to cast us off, and that really matters to us, that's a good sign that we have the comfort of the promises. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. We have the comfort of this word, for the Lord will not cast off forever. The Lord will not cast off forever. He will not always chide. His people will not always feel his displeasure. Whether it's because of particular sin or because he is trying their faith, they will not always feel cast off. Often they have to recognize it's their own infirmity when they feel this way. Has God forgotten to be gracious? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Shall it be forever? This is my infirmity, the psalmist says. And faith looks through the clouds to the shining sun of God's countenance. God does not change. His love to his people never waxes nor wanes, but he loves them eternally, and his love for them will never be taken away. He assures them in his word that though his anger or displeasure that they have felt may endure for a moment, yet with everlasting kindness he will have mercy on his people, as we gather from Isaiah 54. Indeed, it is a small moment, although it doesn't feel a small moment. It might even feel forever, as the psalmist said. But when believers look back at their experience in comparison with the joy that returns or the experiences of love that they have at present, they look back at the time when they felt the Lord's displeasure and they recognize it was a small moment. It wasn't forever. The Lord did not cast them off forever. And this is what he assures his people tonight. For the Lord will not cast off forever. Here is true comfort. The world may comfort you with words like cheer up, it could be worse. Or look at all the good things you have and all the enjoyable moments, precious moments in your memory, cherish them. These words might do some good to the emotions, but what comforts the child of God is the precious word, the promises of God from the God of all comfort. The Lord's people do go through trying circumstances. They are afflicted at times. And we read in verse 29, he putteth his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. God's people do humble themselves. That's the appropriate call in every affliction, small or great, to humble ourselves and be silent before God. He putteth his mouth in the dust. He is not quarreling with God and saying, how could a good God let this happen to me? No, he puts his mouth in the dust. If so be, there may be hope. Now, there's no uncertainty with God, and objectively there is hope and a solid foundation for hope. But what we have here is the consciousness of the believer. If so be, there may be hope. I think there will be hope. Maybe there will be hope for me, and that's why I go forward in duty. But the fact is there is hope. There's always hope in Christ, the hope set before us. That hope is unchanging. It is the anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. So we have here the certainty of God's word. For the Lord will not cast off forever. And Paul asks, who shall separate us from the love of Christ, or the love of Christ? He is persuaded that nothing will do so. Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, that's the guarantee that the Lord will not cast off forever. And those who wait for him, they will experience the return of God's countenance because he is full of compassion. In the second place, the compassion according to the multitude of mercies. Verse 32, but though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. We must acknowledge that God does cause grief. It's the prosperity gospel that says it's not God who causes suffering, it's the devil, it's the lack of faith. But no, the word of God is plain. God causes grief. The Lord does inflict pain. It's not something that occurs by chance. When there is trouble upon the scene, we know it's not by accident, it's not by chance. We read in verse 37, who is he that saith, and it cometh to pass, when the Lord commandeth it not? Nothing will take place without God appointing it, and no difficulty arises without God ordering it. Again, verse 38, out of the mouth of the Most High proceedeth not evil and good. The fact is, all comes from God in providence. All has been ordered. God is not the author of sin. He permits sin to take place. But all that happens in providence has been governed. It hasn't even been decreed, foreordained from God. So both calamity and prosperity both come from God. Though he cause grief, yes, grief, mental trouble arising from affliction. We have burdens in our minds, not just in our bodies. We have trouble, anxious thoughts, concerns. And the burdens that we have in our mind, even these are not by chance. God has ordered everything that comes our way in our life. And the question we should be asking ourselves is, since affliction is to be expected, good and evil occur in our daily lives, are we learning the lessons from these afflictions? Affliction is for a purpose. Are we learning from the Lord? The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. He is grieved. He is emotionally distressed. My soul melteth for heaviness. But he has hope. He says, strengthen thou me. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Again, he goes back to the comforts of God's word. It's really only God's word that brings true relief to this state of mind. And again, the word that comforts is found in our text. Though he cause grief, he causes grief, but though he causes grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. Here is the relief. It's God's compassion toward us. God has pity towards his people. He will show them mercy because he has compassion upon them. We have an instance of this in Jeremiah chapter 12, that the Lord had cast off his people. So vivid is the picture that we have that we read that he even plucked them out of their land, and cast them away into the land of Babylon. But then we read Jeremiah 12, verse 15, and it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. So you see God's compassion when he returns to his people. After a time of feeling distant from the Lord, he says in his word, he will turn again. He will have compassion upon us, Micah chapter 7, verse 19. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. This is God's promise. He will not cast off forever. He will turn again. And it will be characterized by and colored by compassion. Compassion. Well, let us all be praying for this compassion. David prayed for it after he had grievously sinned. In Psalm 51, he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies." Same word, compassions. And that's how we have it in the metrical version. According to thy compassions great, blot out mine iniquity. So this gives us hope. If so be there may be hope, Jeremiah says here, there is hope. God will not always chide. He will not cast off forever. Though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. The multitude of his mercies is the usual word for loving kindness. Goodness, kindness, love, kindness, loving kindness. According to the multitude of his loving kindnesses, the multitude of his mercies. It tells us of the love of God. It tells us of the grace of God. Because God loves his people, he's going to show kindness to them. Because of his goodness, his merciful nature, he will show kindness. And how great is his loving kindness, the multitude of his mercies. There's no limit to the multitude of his mercies. Just as the waves of the sea are limitless, they're constantly coming towards us, so the mercy of God, what does it say? It endureth forever. His casting off will come to an end, but his mercy never ends. God will always be merciful to his people, all those who are trusting in Christ for salvation. Those who believe, it's not for those who are impenitent, going on in the hardness of their hearts, rejecting the truth, rejecting Christ, but for those who fear the Lord, endeavoring to repent of their sins, those who are coming to Jesus, embracing the mercy of God in Christ. The casting off will come to an end, but his mercy never ends. We are ever failing, ever sinning, but God is always merciful, and Jesus is ever interceding. He makes intercession for everyone who comes to God by him. And therefore, we have the wonderful promise, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And so we come in the third place to consider the evidence of his compassion. The reason and evidence that he will have compassion is found in this, verse 33, "For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men." The confirmation, he doth not afflict willingly. So we have a line of reasoning. The reason God will not cast off forever is because he will have compassion. And the reason or evidence he will have compassion is found in this: he doth not afflict willingly. This is his character. This is his nature. Seen in this fact, he does not afflict willingly. He has no pleasure in causing pain. And that's important to know that, because the word afflict means just that, inflicting pain. Afflict means to punish or inflict pain. But God does not inflict pain willingly. Let's say there's a surgeon and he has to perform an operation, he has to make a deep incision. "Doctor, you're causing so much pain, you must love pain." No. This is to help you. It's to perform the surgery for your good. He doesn't delight in causing pain. Of course not. Everyone knows that good doctors would never love to cause pain. Well, God is a good God. God is love. He does not delight in causing pain. "For he doth not afflict willingly." The words are literally, as according to the margin, "from his heart." God does not cause pain from his heart, which means he doesn't do it heartily. He doesn't do it willingly. Now, we could never say that God does anything against his will. As we said, that he has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. He is sovereign. What pleased him he hath done. He will accomplish all that he has purposed. And yet, there are some things that God does not delight in. There are other things that he does delight in. He delights in doing good. We mentioned that God was going to bring his people back from Babylon to their own land. How would God do it? What does he say? Jeremiah 32, verse 41. Yea, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will plant them in this land assuredly with my whole heart and with my whole soul. He does it with his heart. He didn't pluck them out of their land with his heart. He didn't delight to inflict pain, but he does delight in mercy, and he delights in doing good, and with his whole heart, he restores his people and lifts them up from the dunghill and places them with princes. So he delights in doing good, but he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of men. So what is true of his people is really true of all people. He does not willingly, he does not afflict willingly, and he does not grieve the children of men willingly. He doesn't cause grief with his heart. But there is calamity in the world. There is evil in the world. And this stumbles people. They say, well, if there is a God, then why does he allow evil? If he is infinitely good, if he is infinite in power, then why does he allow evil? If there's evil in the world and there's a God, well, then he must not care. He must not care about all the evil in the world. Or he does care, but he's not almighty and he can do nothing about it. Both are wrong conclusions. God is infinite in goodness. God is infinite in power. Yet there is evil in the world. It is because he has wise and holy reasons for the existence of the evil that is in the world. This is called the problem of evil, a philosophical ancient problem. But we have the word of God to give us light. God has holy and just reasons for the evil that exists. Does that mean we know all the reasons? No, we know some of the reasons. There's calamity and trouble in the world because sin exists. Had there been no sin, there would be no misery. Why did God permit sin? For his own glory, his own holy and just reasons that he has in himself. But what we do know is the fact from the truth of God's word that God has no pleasure in evil. Whether it's moral evil or natural evil, he has no pleasure. He says, and even makes an oath, say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. No pleasure in it. No pleasure in pain and suffering. Though he cause grief, though he punishes sinners, he does not delight in that agony. He does not delight in that misery. God is not cruel. He's not a cruel tyrant. Does he love to see sinners writhing in anguish and agony? The answer is no. But they have sinned against him. And it's as if God was required, he was even forced, to use the words of Matthew Poole, to execute his justice upon them. But he doesn't delight in their suffering. He is not harsh. He does not love to be severe. He does not afflict from his heart. He has no pleasure in that, in grieving the children of men. Does this not give us hope? The merciful nature of God. He does not afflict from the heart. What he delights it to do, what he does wholeheartedly, is show mercy. So that the prophet Micah exclaims, "Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever." He will not cast off forever. "He retaineth not his anger forever because he delighteth in mercy." That is what God delights in. He delights in showing compassion. He delights in bestowing kindness. He is a merciful God. He will have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies, for he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. Child of God, he afflicts you, but not willingly. He causes pain, he causes grief, but not wholeheartedly. Why does he do it? He does it for your good. He does it in love. He does not love the suffering, but he loves the sufferer. He loves his suffering people. He's ready to bless you. Peter said to the multitude who were concerned about crucifying Christ, "Unto you first, God, having sent his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you," he says, "sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities." Child of God, he is ready to bless you. And that's why affliction is sent. And in the meantime, he himself is afflicted. Jesus sympathizes with his people. He cares for them. He is touched by the feeling of their infirmities. We're full of infirmities, frailty. Who can say they are coping adequately in the trying situation? None of us, surely. By the grace of God, we can. We should look to him for help, to strengthen us to go forward through fire and through water and bring us through to a wealthy place. But who can say in themselves that they are coping? But the Lord promises to help. And if we trust him, he will help us. He will uphold us with his grace. And we will come to realize that he brings us indeed to a place of liberty, a large room where there are no tears and no sighs, no groans, no pain, but only joy without sorrow, love without chastisement, happiness without grief, endless joy and happiness, world without end. So cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He careth for you. And how this should encourage every one of us, whatever our condition, to go to the one who delights to show mercy, to go to him who delights to save sinners. He doesn't delight to punish the wicked, but what does he say? That the wicked would turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die? You don't have to. You don't have to go down to a lost eternity and be punished and perish in the severe torments for the punishment of your sins. No, he delights to show mercy, and he calls you earnestly. He's waiting to be gracious. So come then for mercy. Come then for pardon. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and he will have mercy upon him. Mercy. And let him return to our God, and he will multiply to pardon, which is what it means in the original. Multiply to pardon. He will abundantly pardon. Come for a pardon full and free. Come to experience the multitude of his mercies. And see how the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to suffer indescribable pain, go through unimaginable anguish. His soul was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Who can describe, who can enter into his sufferings? He who is God was willing to endure the most excruciating pain and sorrow. And therefore, he is calling us to look to him, to his precious blood shed upon the cross of Calvary. And all who look to him will be justified. Justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath. Through him, he that believeth on him is not condemned. None perish that him trust. May the Lord bless these words and meditations and thoughts, and we shall now pray.